Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communication, and today I'm speaking with Dan Zeiler of Motorola Solutions. Dan, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Donnie, thanks very much for having me.
So Dan, you're going to be a panelist on a really cool webinar on July 29th. It's the latest in the Future of Dispatch series, and you guys are going to be focusing on cybersecurity. The webinar is going to be hosted by IWC's Urgent Communications and American City and County, and sponsored by Avtech. I'll tell you, this one really intrigues me because, you know, in the time I've covered the industry, you know, frankly, when I've talked to people about security on all levels, it's all been about, so much of it's been about keeping people out, you know, wall garland, gardens, silos, and things like that. But you see this transition where people are trying to access data from all sorts of data points, and those two things don't seem to add up. What are some of the threats and challenges of trying to keep things secure and still give people access to the data that they really want?
You know, it's really exciting, a little nervous. Historically, we've always had the same kind of defense structure, right? We had a walled garden, or what I would call a shell defense, where you had a perimeter, firewall structures, or a firewall with IPS or whatever, and you kept people out. You were simply disconnected. Nobody could get to you. Can't find you. They can't attack you. But as you mentioned, that also means you can't get to anybody else. You can't get to additional data repositories or additional types of information that might be really helpful. And now we're seeing, as we kind of transition away from TDM structures, right, and the old school phone structures, and more towards an IP basis, we're seeing that really open up, and we're also seeing access to, like, Google's databases or other providers' databases to get more, you know, get an improved mapping structure, get improved response structures, and get all kinds of data with the proliferation of IoT structures. So all of these neat data flows got to get to you somehow in the PSAP, and that just shatters that walled garden, that perimeter structure, because now you've got data flows in and out all the time, which is great. From a functional point of view, because you get this additional data. From a security point of view, of course, it makes things a little bit more interesting. And that's the big trend we're seeing, right? That and the attempts, you know, which are becoming more and more successful to get sensor fusion or fusion of multiple data streams to give you a coherent picture.
Okay. All right. Well,
so, you know, really the question for us is, you know, how do you engage that, right? I mean, from a technical point of view, and this is kind of what we're going to get into a little bit, is not just what does this really look like, right, and how do you structure this, but then how do you engage this both technically and operationally and practically?
Okay. All right. And so, do you actually...
So, you know, when you get into, like, the traditional shell defense, you know, you've got a firewall, which immediately implies, of course, that walled garden might not have been as real as you hoped it was, because then why do you need a firewall? But you also need access to these other data flows from a program point of view. And what I mean by that is, like, are you just accessing this over the internet using, you know, is that encrypted? Is that highly available? And so we'll kind of get into a little bit of what does that mean, how do you secure it, but also how do you make sure it's always there when you need it?
No, that's a really good point. So, you know, I guess, can you give us an idea as to where people should start? And frankly, is it a situation of, hey, I'm still trying to keep people out? Or is it a situation of, hey, look, there's no way to keep everybody out. I've got to have some kind of mitigation strategy when they do get in, so that I don't get hammered if they do manage to get past my defenses?
Yeah, the big change is that your defensive perimeter gets redefined, right? So instead of being a turtle in a shell with a nice tight defensive perimeter, now your defensive perimeter has to extend out to these other sources of data that you're looking at. because not only are you still concerned about keeping people out, you have to make sure that you can get out. And so you know, you've got to change kind of the way that you think about that. In that what you're going to end up with is rather than having a nice kind of a smooth shell defense, if you will, you end up with a defense that has like little extensible loops, if you will, that go out to your additional data systems. Or even within the PSAP, rather than having a separate network for CAD and a separate network for call handling, you end up trying to pass data between those two, right? So typically like SMS messages. And so the question is, you know, where do you begin on that? And the first thing you begin with is, you know, and we'll get into this a little bit more detail. The first thing you begin with is a simple inventory. What are your data flows? What do you need to be up, right? What are you dependent on? And then what is required to make those things actually happen? It's the same thing we've all done for years. We all know how to make sure the emergency generators work, you know, the emergency air conditioners, you know, can be powered by the generators, et cetera, so that, you know, the phone system will stay up. It's got its own battery system. That battery system is fed by, you know, making these dependency lists is what we've done all along. Now we simply have to extend it out into these data flows. And so, you know, mapping out those data flows and then mapping out the dependencies of those data flows, right, that kind of becomes the first big place to start. And then we'll go through a lot of tips on, well, that sounds great. How do you do it? Because you got so many vendors and so many different data flows, and are they talking to each other? You know, that can become a challenge.
Right. Well, and how does next generation 911 change that? Because, you know, my impression is next generation 911, I'm going to have even more flows and more options and possibilities.
You'll get a lot more options. So the, you know, next gen 911 in some ways really changes things, in some ways it doesn't. I have to be honest, the biggest change is in the GIS world right now. Because for the first time, instead of getting, I mean, in the old days, you know, it's all landlines, right? And the phone companies knew where they installed the line. And then, of course, it all went mobile, and now you're seeing mobile plus nomadic VoIP. And, you know, with that, we've had real locational difficulties for years, where it works great in the countryside because it's good for 100 yards, and, you know, that's old man Burns' place. But in the city, 100 yards is, you know, that's not going to work. And you don't really have altitude, which super doesn't work. But with a lot of the new data systems, you can lock this down to plus or minus a couple of feet. And that gives you the floor, that gives you the exact address, that tells you precisely where that caller is calling from. But to do that, now your call handling stations are talking straight to something on the internet somewhere. And, you know, your CAD systems, which have a lot of the same capabilities, are getting a lot of the same feeds from their data sources. But again, you've got a lot of real-time data moving in and out of these systems to give you that visibility. So it's hugely useful, but you've got a lot of data flows that you're now dependent on that didn't exist before.
Right. Well, we've talked about the increase in threats. When I migrate and upgrade my systems, do I at least get some extra tools to help combat some of these threats?
You do, and there's a lot of you know, struggle within the industry right now to figure out how to consume those tools. But in the end, it really, and we'll get into this a little bit more detail, it really comes down to understanding and having a perspective that allows you to use those, because these tools are more or less the same tools that we've used for years in other areas, combined with a few new high visibility tools, which are really useful, so that you don't get lost in, you know, oh my God, that networking traffic just looks like so much gibberish. And you get into a lot of tools like encryption, which can be used to kind of categorically solve certain problems. But like any other tool, you've got to use it properly, and you got to figure out when and how to use it, and maybe when not to use it.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be really interesting, I think, for people. Can't wait to hear you guys on the 29th. By the way, who else is going to be speaking besides yourself?
So we've got James Pinckney and we've got Jay English.
Okay.
And so, you know, that should be a really good group. I mean, you know, James is a CISSP and he's been a practitioner mostly in the federal space for 15, 20 years now. And Jay is the CTO of APCO, and he's been he's been engaged within that space also for roughly 20 years. So it should be a really solid group.
Okay.
And myself, I've been doing this since I started with the United States Navy almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
As a cryptologist.
Wow, that's a great group. Can't wait to hear it. Again, folks, that's July 29th. Check the registration link in the caption below this podcast. And Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Look forward to listening on the 29th. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.